I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about a subject important to this and every age, forgiveness. In anticipation of the fall Walk the Talk event that focuses on it, we're going to discuss what forgiveness is, how we achieve it, and why it matters. My guests are Steve Ross, founder of Walk the Talk, and two of the presenters, Indianapolis life coach, musician, and author Matt Bays, and Dr. Tuesday Tate, an Indianapolis-based speaker, coach, consultant, and minister. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881. Email nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. Track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. Federal emergency teams in Florida are assessing the damage left by Hurricane Irma. Crews are clearing down trees, power lines, and other debris. More than 5 million homes and businesses are still without electricity. NPR's Kirk Sigler has more from Miami.
Hundreds of thousands of people in this area alone that still don't have power. City officials in Miami said today that, you know, they've never seen a cleanup project this big. There's just so much debris, so many down power lines from Irma, so many trees down, that it's going to take at least through the weekend, they're saying, for most people here to have power restored.
Irma has been downgraded to a post-tropical cyclone, but is still dropping heavy rain in the Carolinas, Tennessee, and Kentucky. President Trump's commission looking into alleged voter fraud is meeting for the second time today in New Hampshire. NPR's Pam Fessler reports the panel was formed in response to the president's unproven claim that as many as 5 million people voted illegally in last year's election.
The 12-member commission is scheduled to hear from several witnesses about voter turnout, voter fraud, and election computer security. Vice President Mike Pence, who chairs the panel, has said the commission has no preconceived notions or preordained results. But the panel's co-chair, Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach, stirred controversy last week by claiming that there's proof of voter fraud in New Hampshire last year, enough to change the outcome of a Senate race. Those claims are highly questionable, and other commissioners will likely challenge them. The panel's stated goal is to boost public confidence in elections. Pam Fessler, NPR News.
The prime minister in Bangladesh is demanding that Myanmar allow hundreds of thousands of ethnic minority Rohingya to return home. Rohingya Muslims have fled two recent waves of violence in majority Buddhist Myanmar that some UN officials are now calling ethnic cleansing. Michael Sullivan reports.
Speechless is the word Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina used to describe the situation as she visited refugee camps on her side of the border today. At least 350,000 Rohingya have fled after Rohingya militant attacks on government security posts late last year and again last month that led to a brutal crackdown by Myanmar's military in an effort to push the Rohingya out. Bangladesh has urged the international community for help in dealing with what some human rights groups and some in the UN are now calling ethnic cleansing. So far, there's been lots of condemnation, but very little action aimed at bringing an end to the Myanmar military's so-called clearance operations. For NPR News, I'm Michael Sullivan in Chiang Rai, Thailand.
On Wall Street, the Dow was up 65 points. This is NPR News.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today about an upcoming event in the Walk the Talk speaker series, a talk at the Vogue on September 20th. I guess it's more than a talk, several talks, about forgiveness, a subject that is relevant always but seems perhaps even more relevant today. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at wfyi. My guests are a veteran of the program, Steve Ross, founder of this TED-type series of talks, Walk the Talk, Matt Bays, and Dr. Tuesday Tate, are newcomers to the program. Matt is an Indianapolis life coach and musician and author of the book Finding God in the Ruins. And Dr. Tuesday Tate is an Indianapolis-based speaker, coach, consultant, and minister. Well, welcome to all of you.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you here. So, Steve, we've done a show, obviously, on Walk the Talk before, but it never hurts, and we don't want people who are just joining the program to feel excluded.
Right.
So could you talk a little bit about what Walk the Talk is?
Well, Walk the Talk started with an idea in a book that I had, which I entitled Vision Quest. And it was an idea of putting together people to talk about topics that are relevant. And I met Richard Brendan through Cassie Stockamp. She introduced us, and we started talking about how to put this idea together. Richard had brought in Deepak Chopra at one time, and, you know, the cost of that was extremely expensive. And we kept thinking about, you know, churning how to make this idea work. And I was watching TED Talks to look at speakers and say, maybe we could bring in TED Talk speakers. And then it hit me, and Richard and I said, oh, we'll just create our own and have people audition, and we'll come up with the topics. So TED Talks, at least when they started, they were random. The speakers could speak whatever they wanted to. But we now have topics, and we've done, this is our seventh Walk the Talk. And we find that everybody's got something to talk about when it comes to a certain topic. And like one of the speakers, Erica Hahn, she found a letter that she'd written herself in 2006, and it was regarding forgiveness and self-forgiveness. And she found this letter a couple days before she saw that we had the forgiveness auditions, which was just like, I mean, this happens so much that people see it and they go, oh, my gosh, I've never heard of this. I have to audition, which I probably would same with you guys, right?
Yeah.
With Matt and Tuesday. And that's how it came about. And after a year, we're in our seventh. We're going to be going to Bloomington in February, doing one at the Buskirk Chumley on the topic of creating happiness. And our goal is to go to Bloomington, possibly Louisville, and, you know, we'll see. But
that's great.
Yeah, the people in Indianapolis are embracing it in a huge way. I mean, it's great. Everybody has tons of takeaways.
So how did you settle on forgiveness for the topic this time?
Okay. We have a group of people, eight people, that we sit down with after each Walk the Talk and talk about topics that are ideas that we could use. And we have a list, literally pages of lists of topics. And we just thought, okay, given the environment of the world right now, we need to talk about this.
That's good.
We were balancing the potentially empathy, but forgiveness just struck us as, you know, the one that we really needed to talk about. Because it's so huge. You know, whether it's forgiving someone who has trespassed against you, or, you know, the government, or, you know, Hurricane Irma. You know, it's like, where does it stop? Forgiveness is everywhere. So
Tuesday and Matt, I'm going to start with Tuesday on this, but I just want to ask, what was it about? Because you do have to audition for these, right? You have to go through this process. And in theory, you don't pay your speakers, right?
No.
So this is something you're doing because you're committed to. Then, what was it about forgiveness, that subject that spoke to you so much that A, you thought, okay, I'm going to go through this audition process. I'm going to do a lot of work. I'm not going to get paid for. You know, and I'm going to put myself out in front of some people who may or may not like what I have to say.
You know, I really, forgiveness, I started a book probably about, honestly, 10 years ago about my relationship with my father. And it's titled My Daddy's Demons. And it's taken me this process of forgiving and healing in that relationship. He passed away when I was 17 years old. And though you can't tell it when I'm sitting here, I'm 50. And so it's been many years of this process of when I realized how our relationship fell apart, that I started this journey of forgiving him. And I can sit here today and say I have forgiven my father, even though he is not here to say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I didn't understand. I had to forgive him long after his death. And so the topic struck me because I know there are so many people that are waiting for someone to say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? and they'll never hear it. So how do you get to a place of forgiveness without ever having someone acknowledge the wrong that they did to you? And so when someone told me about Walk the Talk, I was like, why are you telling me about this? But immediately when I saw the topic, I said, I'm supposed to do it.
Matt, same question to you. What was it that appealed to you?
Well, first of all, there's a quote that says, we may not live in the past, but the past lives in us. And I find so many people in my life that I encounter who are stuck, you know, because there's unforgiveness in their life. And we don't always know how to get past it. My belief on that is you can't forgive someone until you know what it is that they took from you. Mm-hmm. And that takes some research and some time. Mm-hmm. And so every time I see the lights come on for someone who is stuck and doesn't know how to make life work, and it's an issue of forgiveness, I just love seeing that freedom and them being able to live into the person that they are. So for me to be able to find a group of people that I don't know and to be able to share what I've learned and what my experience is just, I mean, it's such a huge blessing.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about forgiveness here on No Limits today in anticipation of the new Walk the Talk event that's coming up on September 20th. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. So, Matt, I'm going to stay with you for just a second.
Okay.
What is it you're going to tell them? Well, give me a little bit of it. I know you don't want to do the whole talk and then give them no reason to come.
Yeah, but. It's family relationship. And actually, as Tuesday has already alluded to, of figuring out how to forgive somebody that has passed, but also how to forget to receive the forgiveness of somebody who is gone, who is dead and gone. It seems impossible. It seems ridiculous. But I'm going to be focusing some attention on that, how that can actually happen.
Tuesday, how about you? What are you going to talk about?
One of the I heard LL Cool J, interestingly, say something the other day. He said, you can't hold a beef with people who are underneath.
Wow.
And that, I'm like, all right, LL, okay.
Right.
But so he's underneath, he's gone. And one of the things I realized about forgiveness is a brave act that you do for yourself. And it's selfish. It is a selfish, brave act that you do for yourself. And that's one of the things I want people to understand. So often we think if I forgive them, that's giving them an escape or we're excusing what the other person did. No, it's for you. It's for you and it's for you. And it's selfish and it's brave and it's necessary to move forward in our lives.
Is there a misconception about forgiveness? I'm thinking, a couple of years ago, I did a radio program where we were talking. I was talking with the mother of an Israeli soldier who had been killed.
Wow.
And the father of a Palestinian girl who had been killed by an Israeli soldier.
Wow.
And they were working together to try to achieve reconciliation there. The father of the Palestinian girl, and I should say the Israeli soldier, was arrested, put on trial, and the father had a chance to confront him. I asked him, you know, what he would do with that soldier, and he looked at me, and he said, "I would forgive him without mercy."
Wow.
Which, yeah, it means I'm not
goosebumps.
Going to own any part of what you did.
Mm-hmm.
This is up to you. We tend to think of forgiveness as something that is, you know, this soft soap kind of thing. It's much harder than that. Matt, I'm going to start with you today. It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think forgiveness can bring you to the end of yourself, you know. It is one of the most painful.
What do you mean
things.
By the end of yourself?
I think it. When I say brings you to the end of yourself, it is an all out surrender. You know that you come to a place where you don't know how to do this, and it's painful. You know, to try to forgive someone who has wounded you. I mean, it's one thing to forgive the person that cut you off in traffic. It's another thing to forgive the person who has. Yeah, I guess it does depend. I'm not a road rager, so that's not my thing. I've got some other character defects I'm working on. But to forgive somebody who has taken the life of somebody you love, you know, to forgive somebody who has abused you, you know, who has wrecked your life, divorced you, whatever it might be, you know, requires serious work. And it's the kind of work that a lot of people don't want to do because they don't know how. You know, and so that's why there's an event like this, because you get to hear from six people, different walks of life, different experiences that get to share and help others maybe see a bit of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Tuesday, you know, part of what came out of that conversation I had, gosh, this must be 3 or 4 years ago now, was really that we tend to think of forgiveness as something we do for other people, mm-hmm. when in fact it's, you know, at least the folks I was talking to in that segment would say, no, forgiveness is a gift you give yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is a gift we give ourselves. There's a scripture in Matthew chapter 18 that talks about how the master had forgiven his servant of a debt. And then that very servant had someone who owed him, and he held that debt against them. When the master found out, he called his servant wicked. And the Bible says he sent him to the dungeons to be tormented. Unforgiveness is torment. And a lot of times we think we have forgiven people, but what we've done is suppressed the memory, mm-hmm. the feeling, the emotion of what we experienced. And mm-hmm. even as Matt said, sometimes it's that we don't know how to forgive, and sometimes we don't want to forgive. Mm-hmm. Some people want to stay angry because mm-hmm. we feel like that holds the other person in captivity. But really, we're holding ourselves in captivity. We're holding ourselves in a place of frustration and torment. And so forgiving someone is what I said. It is totally selfish and it is totally brave. Mm-hmm. It is necessary for you to truly live the life that God wants you to live and be free.
Before we go too much further, Steve, I probably ought to ask, you know, is it possible for people still to get tickets to attend?
Oh, definitely. They can purchase tickets at the Vogue, noon to 5:30, Monday through Friday. They can go online through our event site, walkthetalkseries.com, or they can pay $15 at the door. Okay. So no problem.
And is there a discount for buying ahead of time, or is it $15 regardless of whether?
Yeah, it's $15 regardless.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and you've still got a fair number of spaces
available? Oh, absolutely.
Available.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. We are talking about the subject of forgiveness in anticipation of a new Walk the Talk event at the Vogue on September 20th that is on the subject of forgiveness. My guests are Steve Ross, who's founder of Walk the Talk, Matt Bays, an Indianapolis life coach and musician and author of the book Finding God in the Ruins, and Dr. Tuesday Tate, an Indianapolis-based speaker, coach, consultant, and minister. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking today about forgiveness. There's going to be an event as part of the Walk the Talk speaker series at the Vogue on the subject of forgiveness on September 20th. My guests are Steve Ross, who is founder of Walk the Talk, and two of the presenters that night on September 20th, Matt Bays, who's an Indianapolis life coach and musician and author of the book Finding God in the Ruins, and Dr. Tuesday Tate, an Indianapolis-based speaker, coach, consultant, and minister. If you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. You can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Or you can do what a listener named Becky has done and call us at 866-476-3881. Becky, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a situation with someone who is mentally ill, who believes that over 50 years ago, another person sexually abused her. And I don't know how to help her to forgiveness, because it didn't really happen, and the other person is never going to say, I'm sorry.
Interesting dynamic. Well, we'll see if our guests have some thoughts on that. Thanks very much for the call and the question. Tuesday, I'll start with you, just because you're making eye contact.
Well,
thanks.
Well, interestingly, almost 30 years, I had suppressed what had happened to me. And I literally took myself away for 30 days on a sabbatical. And through that process, I realized it happened. And I literally fought within myself internally. Did it? Am I really? But it did. Mm-hmm. I guess with her relative, I'm not sure how she knows that it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the person calling says that it didn't. But the person who's saying it did, that's what they believe. How do you help them get to forgiveness, never hearing, I'm sorry? One of the things I would absolutely encourage is let them talk about what they believed happened. I would also encourage, if they're someone who can write it down so they can kind of just get it all mm-hmm. out. Mm-hmm. And speaking about it also helps them to release it. And I do this with people. I do something in Reconciliation Ministries where I allow someone to stand in the gap for the person.
Mm-hmm.
So if whoever it was, find someone who has a heart of compassion that would stand proxy
mm-hmm.
to say to that person, will you forgive me? Since the other person never will,
mm-hmm.
allow someone, see if they are willing to have someone stand proxy so that they can hear it. I know it sounds strange, but it's a part of just what we do in reconciliation. If it's a woman who has been molested or raped or taken advantage of, or a man that's been abused, or a child. Was it a man who did it? Yes. We will get a man to stand in the gap, to stand proxy. And that person allows that person to say everything they would have said to the person that offended them or assaulted them. And then that person says, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? It is amazing. Just
wow.
having mm-hmm. someone hear it.
Mm-hmm.
From someone who allowed them to talk through it, it starts the healing process.
That gives me goosebumps, you just mm-hmm. saying that.
Yeah.
How and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off,
oh,
Steve.
No.
Because part of what I'm wondering, too, is this question also of perspective and perception of events, too. Mm-hmm. To use the example I referred to, the Israelis and the Palestinians both believe they are the aggrieved parties.
Mm-hmm.
And to some degree, they both are right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my grandfather had a wonderful saying. He said, most people can figure out the difference between right and wrong. It's figuring out what you do when right and right collide. That
yeah.
is tough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and to some degree, probably the corollary of that is, you know, how do you achieve forgiveness or get to some sort of reconciliation when wrong and wrong collide
yeah.
because they're unmixed?
Yeah.
Matt, your thoughts?
Well, there is a – I love quotes. I collect them because mm-hmm. some of them are so relevant. But one that I've read says that children rarely – or siblings rarely grow up in the same household.
Hmm.
mm-hmm. meaning their experience. Yeah. You know, one has issues with the mom while the other one doesn't at all. And the other one has issues with the father mm-hmm. and the other one doesn't. So with the person that called in, you know, I don't know that this is her fight. You know, mm-hmm. this is she's third party mm-hmm. to this. And I understand her compassion and her hoping these people will get through it. But they will only get through it if they decide mm-hmm. to get through
right.
it. So somebody that doesn't say, I'm sorry, will never block me from forgiving. I need to figure out how to forgive in spite of whether or not they say sorry to me. And forgiveness does not always mean a complete repair of the relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So right. I have a person in my life, my stepfather that I grew up with. I call him the stepdad from hell. You know, I have forgiven him, but I'll never be in relationship with him because mm-hmm. of what he treated our family. That is a boundary I've had to set.
Mm-hmm. We've gotten a Facebook question from a listener named Bethany that is directed to Steve.
Okay.
And again, if you want to join the conversation via Facebook, you can find us at No Limits WFYI. Bethany writes that she's curious about where the profits go if they don't pay speakers.
Well, to be truly honest, we have yet to turn a profit.
Oh, okay.
And we talked about this earlier yeah. about paying the speakers.
Yeah.
Well, we film every speaker and we put it on YouTube. And so they have that as a takeaway, and it's professionally done, honestly. We've had several speakers who have spoken in the past who have had over 10,000 views of their YouTube video, and it's amazing. And so we give them that, and they also, there's that etherical where, you know, as they're talking to the people, they see those people changing or believing or hearing what they say, mm-hmm. which to me, that's the bottom line. I mean, after 7 events, I have yet to turn a profit, and I don't really care because to me, the bottom line is how many people can we help? You know, like one of our slogans is creating an epic shift. Well, mm-hmm. this is part of it, yeah. you know, and how people mm-hmm. think and how they talk and how they work together and walk the talk. I hope someday to turn a profit.
Or at least break even.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. But yeah. yeah. But I appreciate her question. Definitely. Yeah.
I used to have a joke when, well, I've been in the not-for-profit world one way or another for now 20 years. And I
yeah.
always explain to the people I work with, you do need to realize that not-for-profit does not mean for loss.
We need to, yeah, that's a good point.
We need to be able to spend this. We've also gotten an email from a listener named Clifford. Which gets to, I think, one of the tough questions here. And again, our email address is nolimits@wfyi.org. Clifford writes, how do you forgive yourself for doing harm to another?
Mm.
Tuesday, your thoughts.
Wow. How do you forgive yourself? One, first recognize you're human. Mm-hmm. You're going to make mistakes. There is a scripture that says, Jesus said, had they known, they would not have lifted me up. Most often, had we known what we did, what the outcome would be, the ripple effect, you chose, maybe not you, sir, but someone chose to leave their family and divorce their family. They felt, I need to go find myself, or I'm not in love with you anymore, instead of maybe working through it. And you chose to leave, and now you see the impact it's had on your children and that ex-spouse. You must forgive. I think that's probably the biggest part of forgiveness is forgiving ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because people can be very self, I call it abusive, mm-hmm. and we don't even realize we're doing that. And realize you're human, you made a mistake, and I absolutely believe if you would humble yourself, and if the person is still alive, you have access to them, and you apologize to them and ask them to forgive you, you will forgive yourself because there's a release that comes from it. There's a freedom. And if that is something I can absolutely get into people's hearing and into their heart today and through the speak on September the 20th, is that you are released. It is like a weight coming off of you. And there's a level of freedom. So recognize you're human. You're not perfect. You're going to make mistakes. And a lot of times it's our need to self-please everybody else that we don't want to accept. I make mistakes. And try to ask that other person to forgive you and walk that process of loving yourself enough to forgive yourself.
How important is restitution to that process when you have done, you know, picking up Clifford's question there, when you know you have done harm to another or you have done wrong? And I guess I'll take it one step further. Is forgiveness possible without trying to say, I'm going to try to make this right? You know, is the conviction there? Mm. Is it possible? Matt, you're looking at me really intently right now.
Well, I mean, I have thoughts about this because I don't think forgiveness is just a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Yeah. No.
You know, and so I think we live differently. That is how we forgive ourselves. We change. And as Tuesday said, we are human. We mess up. We hurt others. But we own our mistakes, and we seek to live in a different way and move forward in our lives.
You know, and self-forgiveness for me, like, I mean, I'm the father of three awesome kids, but we all know as parents, you know, we've made a mistake or two in how we've raised our kids. And man, there were times when I would just beat myself up. And I had to begin to experience self-forgiveness. And part of it was, okay, what could I have done different? Well, it's the past, right? We're dealing with now. And I would just tell myself that I did the best I could,
right,
given the circumstances. You know, with this person, whoever that person hurt, they did the best they could. They might have made a mistake, and it might have hurt somebody, but, you know, don't do it again and learn from that experience and forgive yourself truly for that. And that's how I have moved on in some of the things I...
Tuesday, so, I want to let Tuesday weigh in, too, but I can tell this has touched a nerve.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's two things. One is forgiveness and saying I'm sorry are two different things. Mm-hmm. Saying I'm sorry is taking responsibility. I'm sorry for. That's what you teach your children. I'm sorry. Well, for what?
Right.
Okay. So
And don't follow it with a but because
exactly.
That's just repositioning.
or
Yeah, right.
Or this thing that people say, well, if I hurt your feelings. Well, clearly you hurt their feelings. You did something. That's why they're rolling their eyes at you and breathing hard every time you open your mouth. So one, they're two different things. So what I've learned is that apologizing and saying I'm sorry is me taking responsibility. But saying, will you forgive me, is now being accountable for what you did. And so it's what Matt said. If you are accountable, you have now made a decision to do something different. I believe even asking for forgiveness is a part of the restitution. I'm paying you with my emotion, my commitment for a genuine apology and saying, will you forgive me? Because now I'm taking accountability to say, whatever it was, I'm going to try my best not to do it again.
Yeah. The harm done was my fault, not yours. I own this, not you.
Yeah.
So typically we don't have a bunch of people out there that are trying to be too easy on themselves. People are hard on themselves. And the people that are too easy on themselves or don't own their mistakes are probably not pursuing self-awareness and healing. So we're talking to people who are trying to get better. And what Steve talked about, you know, we were all raised in a broken home in one way or another. Our parents were not perfect. And so we have to at some point say, with the tools that I had at the time, I was doing my best. And did I make mistakes? Absolutely. But again, I am trying to live differently. That's different than I'm sorry. Sometimes we call those living amends, where we live out our lives differently than we had before we have gained this knowledge of how to live right and how to love others in a better way.
We are talking about forgiveness today on No Limits. If you want to join the conversation, you can do what a listener named Dave has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Dave, welcome to the program.
Hi, John.
Hi.
I have a comment on Matt's comment about finding the end to yourself. I think that a lot of times when we've been wronged or our emotions have been riled up, we assume a position and in that anger, we identify so strongly that we have a difficult time letting go of that piece that we identify with. In other words, we're so tied up with that anger, and it's almost energizing to do that we can't let it go. And I think Matt's comment about finding an end to yourself is about letting go of the mm-hmm. ego in order to forgive that aspect of your identity. And I think when we are wronged as children, we carry that into adulthood, and it becomes sort of our go-to whenever we hit a position of stress. Mm-hmm. And if we can let go of that identity for one moment and free ourselves, we can fly again. Mm-hmm. So your comments.
Thanks very much for the call and for sharing that, Dave. Response?
You bet.
Yeah, so I'm going to respond with just a brief story, but I had a mentor who said to me, because I was struggling to forgive my biological father for abandoning us when I was three. And she said, "Do you believe that he did the best that he could?" And I said, "No," and kind of laughed, thinking, "That's impossible. He didn't do the best that he could. He didn't do anything, you know." And she said, "See, I believe that with the tools that he had, you know, and with his experience in this life, that he did the best that he could." Now, that's a tough pill to swallow for people to believe that. But as I've come to understand my own character defects and what I'm capable and how I'm capable of hurting people, then I've realized that I believe that that's true, that my dad did the best that he could mm-hmm. with the tools that he had. And so it did require me letting him off the hook, was setting my ego aside. Just as the caller said, this is about ego. We don't like to talk about it. That's exactly what it's about. And it takes work and it takes time.
Yes.
On the other side here, the other side of this coin, we've got a message from a listener named Jen via Facebook, and you can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI. Jen writes, "Thank you so much for this show. I'm sitting here smiling and crying at the wonderful message. 2 years ago, I finally found the strength to leave my abuser, and this show affirms to me I have the strength to forgive him."
Wow.
And she closes with, "Thank you, thank you. Thank you."
Wow.
Awesome.
You're very
so probably
welcome.
Glad you came on the air today then.
Yeah.
We are talking about forgiveness wow. here on No Limits today in anticipation of the Walk the Talk event on September 20th at the Vogue. My guests are Steve Ross, who is the founder of Walk the Talk, Matt Bays, who is an Indianapolis life coach and musician and author of the book Finding God in the Ruins, and Dr. Tuesday Tate, an Indianapolis-based speaker, coach, consultant, and minister. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're having a lively conversation today about forgiveness in anticipation of the upcoming Walk the Talk event at the Vogue on September 20th. My guests are Steve Ross, who is founder of Walk the Talk, Matt Bays, who is an Indianapolis life coach and musician and author of the book Finding God in the Ruins, and Dr. Tuesday Tate, an Indianapolis-based speaker, coach, consultant, and minister. If you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. Or you can do what Emily has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Emily, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Certainly.
I had a question that I was just discussing with someone, and I turn on my car, and here we are. We were talking about how or can you forgive someone while they're hurting you, or if it's like an ongoing hurt that you are in a family situation and you can't really just remove yourself from it, but how do you come to a place of forgiveness if the hurt continues and they're not remorseful about it?
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Emily, and we are express sympathy, obviously. It sounds like you have some personal mm-hmm. experience there, and yeah. we wish you strength with it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call.
Uh-huh.
So, Tuesday, I'll start with you, I guess.
Well, that I take total sympathy and empathy for you, because I could say that that is something I've lived through. Because my position is in Christ, I would absolutely have to say it continues in prayer, and it continues in speaking your truth of how you desire to be treated. The saying is that hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. And it's true. Hurt people until they're willing to do the work to be healed. Someone who continues to hurt someone that they say they love or are in relationship with, they're hurting. And so they're putting their hurt on you. I would absolutely, and I'm interested in to what Matt's going to say or anyone else, but I absolutely would encourage you to speak your truth. I do a lot of counseling of couples, and I never tell anyone to leave their relationship, particularly when there's marriage, but I do tell people to get to safety. And your safety mm-hmm. is emotionally, not just physical, but there's emotional safety and mental safety. And so, yes, I would encourage you to pray and continue to speak the truth of how you not only desire to be treated, but deserve to be treated. And what does that look like? I have to ask you for you to get to safety for your own mental and emotional health.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Matt.
Well, sometimes, you know, I don't know what it means to say I can't leave unless this is a child that's stuck in a family. But I don't know the situation. But sometimes being able to forgive will require a leaving. Mm-hmm. But not always. So sometimes this is just communication problems or somebody keeps offending. You know, and there's the practical work in forgiveness of setting boundaries, because when I tell you what I need, or I don't allow you to bring whatever it is that you're bringing to me that's hurting me, I don't have to resent you mm-hmm. anymore. And that is by, I mean, this isn't stuff that just magically happens. This is, you do work, you go to therapy, you read books like Boundaries by Henry Cloud and John Townsend that teach you how to set your boundaries with these people. And if they continue to violate your boundaries, that is when you have to evaluate the relationship. Yeah. And is this going to be salvageable, or am I going to have to completely back away from this?
There is more, if I may, too. Mm-hmm. If someone is abusing you, there's six forms of abuse, but if someone is abusing you emotionally, verbally, physically, mentally, sexually, all of these right. ways, if someone is abusing you, yet they tell you they love you, you have to question, what does love look like? Mm. God's word says love is patient, is kind, is forgive. It's all of these things. It doesn't keep score. It doesn't abuse. Mm-hmm. So you have to start to ask yourself, is that really them loving me? They may not know how to love. Mm-hmm. The other part of this is they clearly have demonstrated they don't respect you. Mm-hmm. Or what it is that you need and desire from them and in that relationship. But I go back to what I said. You have to define what safety looks like to you and value yourself enough to say, I am worth my mental, emotional, and all of those ways that I can be healthy.
You know, one of the things that I had read and studied, and I actually there's a woman in town, Dr. Sue Mortar, and I've heard her talk about, we all decide to get on the bus before we come to Earth. And at that time, we decide what our relationships are going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you believe in reincarnation, then you believe you come back because you have to learn something different or more this time. And so if you're in a relationship or something that you don't understand, kind of like what you guys talk, you know, think about it, pray on it, meditate on it, and think about, what is my lesson here? What do I have to learn from this? And then once you realize that, you'll have an aha moment and you'll say, okay, I don't need this anymore. Mm-hmm. And like you guys said, whether it's leaving them or just, you know, blocking them off mentally or physically, however you need to do it, it's just, what's the lesson you have to learn? Mm-hmm.
Got an email from a listener named Dogren. If you want to join the conversation by email, you can find us at nolimits@wfyi.org. Dogren writes, could you talk about communal guilt? We see it all around the world.
Wow.
It is the base of all wars and endless misery. We had a friend from Turkey who, when he was introduced to another friend with an Armenian last name, said, you will not like me because of the history between our people. She looked at him and said, but you have not done anything to hurt me. I don't hold the actions of others against anyone. Her attitude was amazing and so right. But there are some historic grievances here that persist. Can forgiveness exist outside of justice?
Wow.
True forgiveness.
I would say so. I mean, you see people who, you know, they've lost someone through murder or something like that, and that person will go to the person who murdered their family member and bless them and hug them and say, I forgive you. And you see that time and time again, which is amazing. I mean, that takes a lot of love and acceptance from yourself to do that.
And I should say there's going to be an examination of somewhat this subject on the TV side of WFYI next April.
Oh, great.
Ted Green is working on
great.
A documentary about Eva Kaur, you know, the Holocaust survivor who has forgiven that is highly anticipated and is going to explore themes just like this, that why is forgiveness A, so difficult, and B, so controversial at times, so highly charged. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask everyone right now, because I have got a complete phone bank full of callers.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask both the callers and my guests here to try to be as brief as possible so we give as many people a chance as possible to take part in the conversation. Ernest, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, sir.
Certainly.
I've just been having a hard time forgiving my ex-wife because I came home from work one day after being married 10 years, and she divorced me because she said my Tourette syndrome was too much. And just in short, she's in medical school now at IUPUI to be a neurologist. So how does that make sense? I just have a hard time forgiving her for that.
Okay, well.
Thanks a lot.
We hope it gets easier for you. Thank you very much, Ernest. Tuesday.
I appreciate taking that. My father's name was Ernest.
Okay.
Ernest, I would encourage you certainly again to pray and remember your forgiving your ex-wife is not about her. It's about you and it's for you.
Yes.
And I need you to hear both of those. It's about you and it's for you. And if you want to move forward into another relationship, it is important to forgive that ex so you don't take that into the next relationship. Again, as Matt said earlier, forgiving her has nothing to do with you having to be in relationship with her and commune with her, but it is allowing you to be free to move forward in your own life.
Catherine, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
So I'm from South Africa, and I just wanted to make a comment that I think the greatest example of forgiveness of a community was the Truth and Reconciliation Committee that was formed by Bishop Desmond Tutu in the realm of apartheid, where people could come forward in front of the commission and apologize for what they did in crimes against humanity towards apartheid.
Wow.
Some of them were made to do those crimes because they were given orders. What you saw as a nation is we all got forgiveness because we talk about something in South Africa called white guilt.
Mm-hmm.
The people that were white at the time often felt guilt for what was happening. Although I didn't commit a crime, I still had that guilt. And after the Truth and Reconciliation Committee, everybody was forgiven. They came forward and confessed to what they had done and asked forgiveness. There were some that refused to do that, and those were the ones that served time because you couldn't possibly put everybody in prison that had committed the crime. But most of the people that, you know, asked for forgiveness were given forgiveness, but it also released those of us who had the white guilt. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Thank you very much for calling and sharing that, Catherine. Thoughts? I'll take a volunteer.
Well, I know that I personally do feel there are things that I'm connected to that I have not done, but my white brothers and sisters have. I'm connected to that. Mm-hmm. I would never say this is because I carry some of those attitudes. It has come out. I've been made aware of it. So maybe I haven't personally affected someone, but I do think, and some people say, nope, it's not my fault. That's old hat. You know, it's over. And what do you need? Do you need me to tell you I'm sorry? Because I am. I'm mm-hmm. sorry that it happened. I'm sorry that it was my relatives, distant relatives that were a part of this. And so I am too.
Mm-hmm. How much of this, because we are talking about historic memory here and tremendous historic forces. And, you know, I'm thinking about this because we've done a couple of shows recently, conversations we've had with people who are caught up in great history. You know, we did a show about the subject of race and right. one on white privilege and one even on, you know, on Vietnam where we had guy call in and was still very conflicted about mm-hmm. what he had what he had done there. Not because it was he just didn't feel like he honored his best self through that, and you know, he confronted a lot of bad choices. How much of this is also simply acknowledging that we are works in progress too? Mm-hmm. I mean when the subject of race, for example, comes up, most people could probably figure this out from my voice, but I am a middle-aged Caucasian male. my response when that comes up and somebody says, well, you know, are you devoid of racist attitudes? And I'll say, no, you know, to be in our culture, I'm a racist, but I'm working on it. Mm. And that, that seems to me kin to forgiveness, too, is this acknowledgement, first place, that there was wrong done. Mm-hmm. And that we have to do something to the best of our ability to try to make it right.
It goes to what that one woman talked about, you know, communal, mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. there are so many things that have been lessons we've been taught as kids, raised up either by seeing what the media puts on or what the government tries to teach us about racism and, no, you don't like Russian people because, you know, Cold War, et cetera. Well, if you study history, you realize a lot of that was created by the media or the government or somebody to alienate these people from us and us from them. And it's so we have to unlearn that. And we also have to give forgiveness to our government mm-hmm. and whoever created this bad stuff,
And I truly believe that it is about building relationships mm-hmm. Outside of your community. Mm-hmm. As you said, someone may be able to tell that I'm an African-American woman. Sitting amongst all these handsome Caucasian men. And racism, I remember writing this on a Facebook post because someone asked me when was my first experience with racism. I remember it. I was 9 years old. A 9-year-old 41 years ago is totally different than a 9-year-old today. Mm-hmm. I knew nothing about the N-word. When my friend's father said I was a good N-girl, mm-hmm. I heard good girl. Mm-hmm. But my father blew up. That was mm-hmm. my experience. So I think it is acknowledging that it existed, and unfortunately it continues to exist. But if we go outside of our community of people that look like us to start to build and have relationships, I want to say this really quickly. I work in the schools, and Pike Township has one of the largest diversity, 20-some different mm-hmm. cultures. And when wow. I go into the schools, I always tell these middle school young people, I believe racism can end with this generation of young people because they're going to school with them, they're eating with them, they're playing with them. I said, create relationships with people in your classroom that don't look like you, talk like you. And I absolutely believe it is that generation of young people that racism can be killed.
That's great.
We're getting close to the conclusion here of this. So I want to ask, what's the greatest gift that comes from forgiveness? Matt, I'll start with you.
Oh, I think love comes from forgiveness, of being able to love and understand the people around me, people that have hurt me, and people that I'm just working with or encountering each day that have their own character defects. The greatest thing that comes from my being able to forgive is being able to accept and love them where they are, as they are.
The greatest thing that comes from forgiveness is acknowledging, I love me. I love me and I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And they're okay and I'm free. So your freedom to love yourself.
Steve.
And with myself, I've through forgiveness, I've found peace of mind. To take that anger that I had and turn it into forgiveness and know that every time I think of that wrongdoing, whatever you call it, I just immediately go, well, I forgive that and let it go. And it's just peace of mind.
Real quickly, logistics for the event on September 20th at the Vogue.
Doors are at 7:15. Show starts at 8. We have several other speakers. We have, of course, these two guys. We have Erica Hahn and Daniel Ireland, Stephanie Bowie, and Bill Myers. And they all have a great and different message to share about forgiveness. So please join us.
And it's $15 to
attend. It is, $15 at the door.
Well, this has been a very fascinating conversation. I'd like to thank all three of you.
You're
for,
welcome.
You know, what have been enlightening comments. I'd also like to thank our listeners. I know some of this stuff's not easy to talk about.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy that you called in. We're going to be back on Thursday when we're going to be talking with Andy Stoner about a tour through Indiana's political history, particularly the role it's played in presidential politics. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical Producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer, Joe Hatcher. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.